behavior modification through willpower versus character transformation through supernatural power. I often shop at Savons, and I walked into the store one day, and I saw a man pushing a cart, and in the cart, it was apparent to me that his son was sitting in the cart. You know the picture, right? You know, here's a cart, and this child is about age 2 or 3, but no more than 3, sitting in the handle area facing the dad. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And as I walked into the store, and this boy, the terrible 2 or so, throwing a tantrum, and it was heard everywhere. Everyone was seeing what was going on. And you've been there, many of you parents, the embarrassment that was so evident in the face of the father. And his face became red, and I heard him say this: "You're going to be okay, Johnny. You'll be fine, Johnny. I believe in you, Johnny. Hang in there, Johnny." I said, "Oh, whatever. Good for him." And I go do my own business, you know, shopping, and I'm in the aisle of the cereal and you know those things, and I see the father and the son, same thing happening. The boy is throwing a tantrum, and I heard the father say, "You can do this, Johnny. I believe in you, Johnny. Hang in there, Johnny." I said, "Man, what a patient dad." And again, down by the deli section, same thing's happening. The boy's losing control, and the father going, "You can do this, Johnny. I believe in you, Johnny. Hang in there, Johnny." Man, as I was checking out, we just happened to be standing right next to each other. I said, "Hey, excuse me, sir. I just couldn't help notice. I am so impressed with you, how you behaved, handled yourself with your son, Johnny." He looked at me like this. He goes, "What are you talking about?" "Yeah, you know, you're saying, 'You can do this, Johnny. I believe in Johnny. Hang in there, Johnny.'" He says, "That's Billy. I'm Johnny." Behavior modification through willpower. Okay? You've been there. I've been there. We want our character to be changed. I'll be honest with you, and you be honest with yourselves. You're not happy with who you are. You're not happy, you're not content, you're not satisfied who you are in the core. I hear someone say, character is what you do, what you think, what you feel when no one's looking. Your character can be described, defined by this: who you are as to what you think, what you do, and what you feel when no one is looking. That's your character, that's who you are. And you're not happy with your character. I know that, because I'm not happy with my character. So what do? We try this behavior modification through willpower. "Johnny, you can do this. Hang in there. I believe in you." And friends, you've been there. Behavior modification could happen. It does occur. But the trouble is, oftentimes, if not always, it's temporary. It doesn't last. It does make little impact, perhaps, but it doesn't last because it's through our willpower, and the power is coming from the externally into our character. That doesn't always work. Versus supernatural power, meaning character transformation, not behavior, character transformation through supernatural power. It's not modification. It's something that happens from the within, inside of you, from your character. And as your character, your core is transformed, how? By supernatural power. It's not your willpower. It's a supernatural power. You have a part to play in it, but the power is not coming from your within will, but from the outside, from somebody else. Supernatural power. When that happens, and it does happen, there's a lasting impact. Your character can change. I know a good friend with whom I went to the university in Michigan. He was a likable guy, okay? But when he played basketball on the court, he became someone different. He was very competitive. He wasn't about winning. He was about pushing himself, okay? He thought, hey, I'm an ADD. I don't need your distraction. Help me here, Lord Jesus. So his intent. Time out. So for him, it was not about winning. For him, it was being driven. But the problem was, he annoyed everybody else. He played so hard. He just didn't care what he was doing to others. He didn't care. You wouldn't like him. I didn't. It was very annoying. You would like to have him on your team, but you never want to play against him. It's so annoying. Now, the Lord Jesus took hold of him in his third year in the university, and his character began to change. He wasn't trying to be patient or kind. It's just something happened on the inside through the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. And as a result, he became a different player. He competed at the same level, but he wasn't a butt about it, so to speak. Okay? Now, here, look. Modification through your willpower, that could happen, the behavioral change. But what Jesus is saying this morning is this: character transformation through the supernatural power. Here's a picture of what he's going to talk about. It's a picture of vine branches and fruit, okay? You will hear in the Gospel of John, which we will read together, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, abide in me, and you will bear fruit. There's the vine, there are the branches. As the branches remain attached to the vine, what happens? They bear fruit. Jesus does not say, bear fruit by yourself. What does it say? Bear fruit how? By abiding in the vine. Because he says, I am the vine. Remain in me, abide in me. Then you will bear fruit. Okay? I'll be reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Please open your Bibles and follow me along. And please note this. Count how many times Jesus says, remain in me. Count how many times he refers to abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, remain in me. Now hear the word of the Lord, John 15. The words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father, that's God the Father, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Follow along in the sermon outline handouts. You have a copy because you are on time. You don't have a copy because either you were late or we ran out. Here's the main idea. The theme and the goal is this. Bear much fruit, words of Jesus. You bear much fruit. How? By abiding in the true vine. Write those two words. Bear fruit in your character as you abide in the true vine. Bear much fruit in your character. Who you are on the inside, by the supernatural power, as you abide in the true vine. That's Jesus Christ. This is verse 8. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory. This is the glory to the glory of God, that you bear much fruit. How? Being changed, transformed in your character on the inside, showing yourself to be my disciples. You know that word disciples? Okay? It comes from a Hebrew idea, Hebrew word, which means this. A disciple is someone, disciple of Jesus is someone who adheres to the teaching of Jesus, follows the ways of Jesus, and becomes, here's the important phrase, becomes, okay? Meaning you may know Jesus' teaching in your head. You may do all the right Christian religious things that you may think Jesus wants you to do, but if you're not changing in your character as to who you are, Jesus may not say to you, you are not a true disciple. You are a disciple wannabe. You're a disciple poser, but you are not a disciple of mine, because a true disciple of Jesus Christ does what? The character transformation takes place through supernatural power. So in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the characteristics of Jesus Christ, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithless, and self-control. If I'm following Jesus, and I pray I am by His grace, I want to be transformed in my character. That today, you may say, well, Victor has some ways to go about his humility, because, you know, I said things like, you know, if I were just a bit more humble, I'd be perfect. Okay? I'm praying next year by this time, I will be even humbler. So, that's it. Character transformation. Not only is transformation possible, it is necessary. It's not an optional thing, friends. It's not a take it or leave it thing. If you follow Jesus because He has called you, because you believe He died for you, you believe He has risen from the dead to change your character from the inside out so that you become a different person when no one's looking, in terms of your thoughts, feelings, and behavior, and actions. That's what He wants. And then, therefore, transformation is not only possible, it is necessary. It must happen, and it must be evident. Here's a really cool quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a really, he was not a follower of Jesus Christ for the longest time. Christ took hold of him. He became a Christian at the University of Oxford as a professor. He was a really, really smart guy, and this is what he wrote, okay? And I read, God became man, Jesus became, God became man to turn creatures into sons, that's us. Not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, meaning behavior modification through willpower. But it's more like turning a horse into a winged creature. The idea is to be transformed by the supernatural power it becomes a flying creature, meaning a new creation. So friends, the way of Jesus is not for you and for me to be a better person by willpower. Okay, let's be more, be kinder, be more patient. Let's do better. That's behavior modification. Jesus' idea is, I'm going to turn you into a horse that can fly. New creation, transformation by the supernatural power. So, bear fruit, much fruit in your character as you abide in the true vine. Three steps. Number one, write these words. Remain in Jesus' love. Remain in Jesus' love. Verse 9, Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. How many times did you hear the phrase, remain in me, abide in me? How many times? 12 times. 13? 13 times? Going once, twice? 12 times? Are you sure? What if Pastor Christopher says 12 times? It has to be 12 times. Is it because Jesus has 12 disciples? Is that why he said 12 times? Maybe. Shaky exegesis. Listen, when there is repetition, when you read the Bible, then pay attention. It's Hebrew way of saying, Jesus' way of saying, if I repeat myself, it's not because I am boring or bored or unoriginal. It's because for emphasis, when there's repetition, pay attention. He says, remain in my love, right? Okay, remain. What does it mean, remain? Okay. Here's an idea. When John used that word in other times, other places, so here's another time. So Jesus finds this new disciples, new followers, and he says, remain in me, meaning come and stay with me. So the meaning of the word remain is to, let me get it right, to not to depart, not to leave, but to continue to be present. Okay? So remain means like come and hang with me. Come and walk with me. Come and eat with me. Come and live with me. It's very experiential and relational. That's what Jesus is saying. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. Live with my love. Embrace my love. Hold my love. And walk with my love. Okay, now that's the idea. Now the love, Greeks are really sophisticated. They're very nuanced. So for the Greek people, the language of Greek, okay, really, really cool. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek. They have at least four different words for our word love. There is phileo, from which we get the word Philadelphia, meaning that's brotherly love, friendly love. Okay, so the word, the name Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, city of friendly love. Okay, and there's also eros, love, from which we get the words like erotic, you know, candlelights, fireplace, champagne. You get what I'm saying? Okay, you just wait, Pastor Christopher. And then there is storge, which refers to love between parent and child. So as a father loves the son, as the daughter loves the mother, that's storge. But in this context, guess what word Jesus uses? Agape. Repeat after me. Agape. Now say it like me. Agape. Thank you, Grace. That was really good, Grace. Okay. Agape means love from God to his children, his creatures. Agape love is unconditional. The other three, there are some conditions. Among friends, there is a condition. Even between parent and child, there is some kind of condition. Among friends, condition. But agape love, it is an absolute, total, unconditional love. Case in point. As your friend, you may say, Victor, if you defame me on Facebook every day for the rest of your life, I may not be your friend. That's conditional. By the way, that's a good boundary condition. If you know someone who claims to be your friend and defames you on Facebook every day, guess what? He ain't your friend. Okay? But the agape love is absolutely unconditional. You have not done anything to receive that love from God, and therefore you cannot lose it no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do. That's the unconditional love. Everyone, you've heard me say today at least three times by now, I am a sinner saved by grace of Jesus Christ. That's all I am, and that's all I will be, a sinner saved by the grace of Christ. God does not love me because I'm lovable. He does not accept me because I am acceptable. To the contrary, I am not desirable. You just don't know me. And yet God does. And he still says, Victor, my love for you is unconditional because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead for me. And therefore, he erases my unacceptability and my unlovableness. And I receive Jesus Christ. And so God sees Jesus in me. So the sinner is now overshadowed, covered, veiled by the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ. You catch that? As the Father has loved me unconditionally, God the Father loved God the Son unconditionally because he was without any blame, but it was unconditional, agape love. And Jesus says, I love you, agape you, exactly like that. You are sinners just like Victor. You are not acceptable just like Victor. And yet, God in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, he says, I agape you. So remain in his love. Bear fruit in your character as you abide in the true vine. Number two, write these words. Obey Jesus' commands. Obey Jesus' commands. Verse 12. My command is this. Love each other. What kind of love? Is it storge? Is it eros? Is it phileo? No, it's what kind of love? Agape love. Love each other. Love others unconditionally. How? As I have loved you unconditionally. Greater love has no one than this. To lay down one's life for one's friends. Friends, look up here. You cannot give to others what you don't have. That makes sense? Okay. You cannot give money to me if you have no money. You cannot show me kindness because if you have not received kindness. You cannot give that you don't have. Jesus says, as I have loved you, I've given you something already. Unconditional agape love. Therefore, agape love, love others unconditionally since you have received that. Unconditionally. Here's a really perplexing thing that Jesus says. And therefore, command my love. Command, obey my commands, rather he says. Obey my command, right? Verse 14. Here's really, really strange. Listen. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made you known to you. Did you catch that? Something's off. Something's not right. He says, obey my commands because you are no longer my slaves, but my friends. Don't you think he should have said, he could have said, obey my commands because you are my servants, but you're my friends. Therefore, obey my commands. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Here. Let me help you. Obeying Jesus' commands doesn't change. He accepts us, therefore we are accepted and we are loved by his love unconditionally. And now we are loved and therefore we obey his command. Not, since you have obeyed my commands, Victor, I'm going to love you. No. since I love you already first, obey my commands. That make sense? Here's a cool illustration from my, which I learned from my wife. I'm going to make it more relatable. Suppose we weren't married. Pastor Una is my wife, by the way. So suppose we weren't married, and she's my boss, and I'm her secretary. So all day long, I obey her commands. Yeah? She says, "Bzz, Victor, could you bring that spreadsheet data for me, please?" "Yes, boss." "Bzz. Oh, Victor, that presentation next week, that thing needs to be polished. Can you look after that?" "Yes, boss." "Bzz. Oh, Victor, next month I'll be going away. Since you have such great talent and gift in organization and planning, can you plan my month?" "Yes, boss." "Bzz. Victor, would you bring me a cup of coffee?" Okay. Now, I do all that, even making coffee. I do all that. Why? She's my boss. She commands, and I need to obey. I need to perform. That makes sense? Okay? But suppose, since she's so beautiful, and she's just so kind and so loving, I just fell for her, and I popped the question, and to my amazement, and she said, "Yes, we got married." But I kept working for her. So after we came back from the honeymoon, I go to work, and I hear, "Bzz, Victor, could you bring the spreadsheet?" "Sure, honey." "Bzz, Victor, can you bring the chart for the presentation?" "Sure, honey." "Bzz, oh, by the way, Victor, I would love a cup of coffee. Could you?" "Sure, honey." Same obedience. Huh? Huh? Victor obeyed the same commands, but for entirely different motivation. That's the difference. That's the difference. Now I do all these things because I love her. Not because she's my boss. She still is my boss, but that's not the reason I do it. Friends, get this right. So many of you have not grasped the grace of Jesus Christ. It's not, since you obey God and His commands, God loves you and accepts you. No. Because God loves you and accepts you already, you want to obey His commands. The commands don't change. Obedience does not change. But the motivation, absolutely. This is how you know you are being changed in your character via transformation. Bear fruit in your character as you abide in the true vine. Remain in His love. What kind of love? Agape love. And obey His commands for the right reasons. And lastly, I'll make it quick. Withstand the pruning. Write these words. Withstand the pruning. The gardener prunes. Verse 1 and 2. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." How many of you are a gardener? Any gardeners? Okay. Do you? How many of you own... Like plants and vegetables, and do you grow anything? Okay. Now, in my research, I learned this. The most important thing, the most significant, influential ingredient for whatever you're trying to grow is not the water, is not even the sun, it's not even the soil. The most impactful thing you could do to your plant so that it bears more fruit is, guess what? Pruning. The gardener takes a pair of scissors and cuts off healthy branches so that the branch may bear even more fruit because all the energies, all the ingredients all the good stuff, they're going to only one branch. That's how you bear fruit. Okay? And that's what Jesus says. Withstand Father's pruning. Friends, here, listen. Hebrews 12. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son and daughter. Friends, pruning is hard. Hard in terms of receiving it. If you are the tree, if you're the branch, and the gardener comes with and cuts you off, that is painful. I'm speaking metaphorically. In your life, like I said, just really carefully, whatever hardship you are experiencing, whatever suffering you're trying to endure, whatever that thing you are trying to kick, whatever that is, okay, it is hard for you. It is like, oh, this is so hellish. Listen, it may be caused by you. It may be caused by someone else. And for that, I pray God gives you grace. Or God may send it your way purposefully. In other case, in all three cases, God allows it to happen. He has the power to withhold it, stop it from happening for you, but he allows for you to make mistakes, dumb mistakes, and that feels like pruning. He allows, God forbid, but he allows at times, others to do pruning to you. Or it comes from the very gracious hands of the gardener, Father himself. Either way, here's what Jesus is saying. God allows suffering. He allows hardship. He allows, oh no, God, how long? Will you please? He allows all these things to occur to you so that you may be pruned and withstand the pruning and bear fruit. Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his good purpose. God uses good things, bad things. God uses times of thick and times of thin. God uses joys and even suffering. God uses all of that to bring something good to you and for you. And when you are able to receive that gift of pruning or being pruned, and you can withstand that, God will change your character. Would you please close your eyes? Let's conclude in this time of reflection, but also more importantly, in this time of response. Jesus says to you and to me, bear fruit in your character as you abide in the true vine. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the invitation. We come to you now. Help us to remain in your love, the agape love. Help us to obey your commands for the right motivation. Help us to withstand the painful and hard pruning so that we may bear more fruit, that we may become more like you, Lord Jesus. I pray for my friends in this room right now, Lord Jesus, particularly those who have not experienced your true grace. They are still functioning out of guilt, out of, if I obey, then God will love me. Performance-based motivation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you speak to them now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help them to understand that it's all a gift. They are loved already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, use us as we are being transformed. Use us to bring more people to Jesus, to spread the word and change your city too. You want Edmonton to be transformed. Thank you, Lord. So friends, just ask three questions and answer them in your own heart. What did you hear the Holy Spirit say to you? What did he say? And number two, how do you feel about that? Do you feel comforted, challenged, or convicted? How do you feel about that? And lastly, what will you do about that? What is Jesus asking you to do, telling you to do, commanding you to do, and will you do it?
Lord God, your will be done. We receive your grace and we respond to your grace with trust, obedience. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray.